It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson. Ransomware is a relatively new strain of malware in the hacking world, but the idea of getting a virus onto your machine or your network, locking up all the data and files you need, and demanding a payment for the key has become a very popular form of hacking in a short period of time. It has also become really sophisticated, like customer service that helps you pay the ransom in Bitcoin sophisticated. Result, $25 million of ransom paid in 2 years. Damon McCoy at NYU's Tandon School of Engineering was a lead researcher on this study. Damon, thanks for talking with me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It strikes me in learning about this study that you kind of looked at ransomware as a business, or at least a business strategy for malicious hackers, right? Is it fair to cast it that way, almost like a new startup?
Yes, that's exactly how ransomware has progressed. They hit upon better models of operating their ransomware, I guess businesses, for lack of a better word.
Tell me about the innovation of one of these strains of ransomware called Locky, which kind of split itself in two, kind of did this divide and conquer thing. Can you talk about that?
Right, exactly. So Locky hit upon a good strategy where they decided to specialize in operating essentially the business end of the ransomware, and they outsourced the actual infection of victims' machines to another botnet, Nicurus.
What's interesting about this to me as well is that when we say they, we don't exactly know who, right?
Exactly, yep. We have one clue from our study as to the potential geographic location of the people operating that, and that is that we saw about 95% of the payments being cashed out at BTCE, which is a Russian-operated Bitcoin exchange.
Is ransomware just the latest boogeyman in the world of hacking, or is it a real paradigm shift in the world of malicious hacking attacks and how malicious hackers are thinking about essentially generating revenue, I guess?
So the hackers were always business-minded. They happened to hit upon a very profitable business model in ransomware. Back in 2016, we saw their revenues just skyrocket as they kind of refined their business model. And then in 2017, there was another large campaign, CBER. They actually started a affiliate marketing campaign where they essentially pay people a commission for every infected victim that pays a ransom to them.
Interesting. Damon McCoy, he is at NYU's Tandon School of Engineering, and he was a lead researcher on this study. Damon, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
How many times have you gone to a website and been told by a somewhat suspicious pop-up that you need to install the latest version of Flash? The results of an unscientific poll I just did it myself suggests it has happened more often than you would have liked. But here's the thing. Flash is a piece of software that for years has been a really important part of the web. And Adobe, the company that makes Flash, says it's going to stop producing new versions. To understand a little bit more about what the heck that means, we are joined by Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I have something to play for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I love a good dirge. It's funereal. Why are we having a funeral?
You know, RIP Flash, right?
That's right.
Can you explain like what Flash is and why the heck we all kind of have vague, annoying feelings about it?
Flash was created to fill a hole in the web browser universe. So in the late 90s, when Internet Explorer kind of won the then browser wars, it wasn't very good at allowing developers to create multimedia content. So Flash was a plugin to support all those graphics.
Apparently, Google says that 17% of its users visit Flash sites every day. And even if this is phasing out over the next couple of years, that could be a big deal for some companies, right?
Sure, for sure. I mean, anybody that is developing content using Flash will have to take a look at that and redo it using HTML5. That's not a big deal for a giant company that has the resources to do that and kind of understands that things change and you got to redevelop things. But for small companies that do things like make educational plugins for schools, that's kind of a big ask. And so there are some companies out there who are going to have to really be scrappy and find ways to either redo what they make or just scrap that product and move on to something else.
Is there anything about this that like makes you sad?
No, I don't care, I guess, because
should
Flash...
the average user care?
I think the average user should expect some minor annoyances over the next couple of years, and then everything will work much better. And probably your computer will be more stable as a result of it. It's a conversation about the guts of the internet and how the things you see actually appear there. And it's tough to understand. And I think this is one more step to erasing any participation in that wonkiness for the end user.
Fair enough. Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, thanks for getting wonky with me.
Thanks, Ben. That was fun.
And now for something that definitely isn't being phased out. Facebook announced quarterly earnings this week. No signs of the company's momentum slowing down. It beat investor expectations on user growth, revenue, basically across metrics. Facebook stock up about 40% this year. The days of a bungled IPO and sinking stock 5 years ago, a distant, distant memory. Maybe the company will make one of those little videos of that memory and post it on your timeline without asking. Whatever they do, seems to be working. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.